Welcome back. The Huddle is live and in color on location out here in Bowling Springs at Wings, etc. on Highway 9. If you're coming up from the interstate from the Spartanburg area, we'll be on the right. Look for the ESPN Upstate vehicle and tent out front. Spin the prize wheel and better yet, come on inside and have some great food here at Wings, etc. They have made-to-order sandwiches, grilled chicken. They got the Hogzilla pulled pork sandwich, half pound. Are you hungry?
That's a lot.
Get you some of that. Pork tenderloin. They have buffalo chicken sandwich. They have a honey mustard chicken bacon Swiss. Lots of great sandwiches made to order here. They also have the Home Wrecker Monster Hot Dogs. 11 inches, half pound tube of hot dog wonder and intimidation.
That sounds appropriate.
The Home Wrecker Monster Dog. Get that with fries or your choice of side. And, of course, they also have ribs and burgers and wings, of course. They have all kinds of jumbo wings or boneless wings. You can get them in various sizes, 7, 10, 16, 24, and with various sauces. They have 19 signature wing sauces out here at Wings, etc. So it's just a great place to come by and watch sports or just meet your friends and have your favorite food and beverage. Great bar menu, of course, as well, out here at Wings, etc. Highway 9 in Bowling Springs, and we'll be out here another hour. Thanks to everybody out here for having us out. We always enjoy coming out here. Scott is the guy who runs the place, and we appreciate every time they invite us up here to Bowling Springs. We started off the show today in the first hour and talked to Rick Tate, the head coach of the Bowling Springs football team. Their season ended last night as Bowling Springs dropped their game to Northwestern last night. So one playoff game, and that was it for Bowling Springs. But they're pretty optimistic going forward about next year with the players that they have coming back, and certainly have every reason to be. So congratulations to everybody who was part of the Bowling Springs team here in this community for 2018. Got lots more high school football going on. We have some games tonight. Of course, we had quite a few games last night as we are at playoff time. We have reached the playoffs here at every division level. And last night in the 5A playoffs, in addition to Northwestern beating Bowling Springs 54-35, Dorman shut out Greenwood 52-0. Dave Gutshall's team really rolling this season. Only the one loss to the Gaffney Indians, and they get a big first-round playoff win. So Dorman is going to face the winner of Nation Ford and Blythewood, who will play tonight in the second round coming up next Friday on the 16th. In the 4A playoffs last night, it was York over Orangeburg-Wilkinson, 49-24. And it was Daniel beating Eastside last night, 49-20, the final in that. In the Upper State 3A playoffs last night, Union County, no trouble with Chesney, 56-13. And Indian Land beat Crescent, 29-14. So Union County and Crescent, or Indian Land, rather, will meet next week in the second round of the playoffs. And in the 2A playoffs, Southside Christian with a 35-7 win over Silver Bluff. And it was Abbeville, 54-13 over Andrew Jackson. Rest of the games coming up tonight, if not tomorrow. The only one I've seen that has been moved to tomorrow at this point is Burns and Westside at Nixon Field. That'll be our game on ESPN Upstate tomorrow afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff, 1:30 airtime on ESPN Upstate. So we hope you'll join us for that. Tonight on ESPN Upstate, we'll have Clemson basketball as the Tigers take on North Carolina Central. Tomorrow in football, the Clemson Tigers will take on Boston College. Boston College comes in at 7-2, 4-1 in the ACC. You know, this is one of those deals where game day is in Boston, and it's rare. It's rare for them to come up to Boston because that's not a football hotbed, but that's going to make the fan base pretty excited up there. The place only seats 44,500. So, you know, it's about half the size of Clemson. But they'll be loud. You expect that they'll be loud. In fact, Coach Steve Adazio expects that they'll be loud. He talked this week about the excitement of bringing in the Clemson Tigers to Chestnut Hill tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
ESPN Game Day will be be here, and it's only happened a couple times before, and we'll bring a tremendous focus to our campus, to Boston College, to our program, and those that's always a great honor and a great opportunity. I expect the atmosphere here will be sensational. You know, we expect a full stadium and a crowd that's in their seats early and creating a great home field advantage, which I'm sure it will be. We're facing an unbelievable challenge, playing the number two team in the country in Clemson. I would honestly, candidly tell you that this may be the best team that I've seen in my career. It's certainly the best team I've seen since I've been at Boston College. They're in the top five in almost every statistical category. They're sensational on both sides of the ball. They're explosive. They've got first-rounders all over the field. This is a legitimate, legitimate, big-time team. You know, Alabama won, they're two, and that's the elite of college football right now by a long shot. So it'll certainly be a huge challenge for us, but we're looking forward to it and looking forward to the fact that we can play this game right here at home in Chestnut Hill.
Yep, it will be certainly a big challenge for Boston College, but it will be probably the best atmosphere they have had in a very long time. You know, if you look back at Clemson and Boston College over the years and some of the big meetings between the two schools, well, Dabo Swinney earned his first victory as the Clemson head coach with a road win at Boston College in 2008, so there was that. There's a really good game back in 2006, double overtime, and Boston College won it 34-33. A missed point, missed extra point in overtime, did the Tigers in that ball game. Back in 2005 at Clemson, another overtime game, and Boston College won that one 16-13. The first between the two schools as an ACC matchup, tied at 10-10 at the end of regulation. Do you remember 1983? Got any old-time Clemson fans out there that can remember that one? It was at Chestnut Hill, and the Eagles got the win 31-16. The quarterback for Boston College was Doug Flutie.
I've heard of that guy before.
He won the Heisman Trophy the following year, not that year. He won it in 84. But Clemson was up in that game 16-3 with 25 minutes left in the game. The Eagles went on a 28-0 run behind Flutie to end that contest. He passed for 223 yards and two touchdowns on that Clemson defense, the likes of William the Refrigerator Perry. But the Eagles put up 504 yards of offense on the night in that game. So, yeah, really some pretty cool games between these two. The last meeting last year in Clemson in September, it was a 34-7 Clemson win over Boston College, but four of the touchdowns for the Tigers came in the fourth quarter. That game was tied at 7-7 going into the fourth quarter, and Clemson goes on to win 34-7. All of their touchdowns on the ground. They rushed for 342 yards in 58 attempts, and the leading rusher, Kelly Bryant. Remember him? Yeah, that was just last year. The last time they played at Boston College, it was a blowout. Clemson won it 2 years ago, 2016, 56-10. Over Boston College, played on a Friday night. It was for the first Friday football game for Clemson since 1956, 2 years ago. Deshaun Watson, four touchdown passes, no interceptions, 508 yards of offense for the Tigers in that game a couple of years ago. So how close will this one be tomorrow night? I know we're picking the Tigers to win, Lonzo, but what do you think? I'm going to ask you for a score. What do you think Clemson and Boston College do tomorrow night? You think Clemson rolls. You've already said that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to score as much as they did last week. I'm going to go 45-14, Clemson.
45-14. I'm going to write that down here before I throw it away on the way out the door. Just kidding. I'm going to go a little closer than that and say that Boston College actually puts up some points. I will go 42-24. Tigers, which is probably closer than it'll end up being, right?
Probably.
I'm hoping for a challenging game for Clemson. Clemson needs a test. We talked about it yesterday. You know, they're rolling through. They're playing all their players, getting everybody out on the field every game. So, you know, they'll have fresh legs here late in the season because nobody's playing four quarters or anywhere close to it because of the way they have been winning as of late. But I think this one will be a little bit closer than what we've seen. And that wouldn't take much because last week it was 77-16. Week before, Florida State, it was 59-10. The NC State game was 41-7. The Wake Forest game was 63-3. So it has been since September. We are now at November. What's today's date? November 9th. It's been since September 29th that Clemson had a close football game. That was the Syracuse game, 27-23, and the one that was really kind of a miracle that they came back and won.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out why game day is there. So game day believes that this is going to be a closer game.
Well, where else would they go? That's what you got to look at with game day, right? What's the best game of the week? And Boston's a big market, so you can see it from that point of view. All right, let me just take a look.
I mean, if you look at ranked, playing ranked, you could probably go Ohio State and Michigan State. That's ranked.
Yeah, you could.
Who's Bama playing again?
Mississippi State. I don't love that one. That's in Tuscaloosa. You could do that. Ohio State, Michigan State's a noon game, and it's in East Lansing. I guess they could have done that one.
But again, looking at it, that has the possibility of being a close game that could go either way.
Mississippi State, Alabama, or which one? Oh,
Ohio State, Michigan State.
I'm sorry. I was jumping ahead. You know, back in the day, Florida State, Notre Dame, but no, not this year. So, those would be the only options, the only other options. But you got number 17 against number 2 here. So I don't mind this. And it's a primetime game, so I don't mind that at all. It'd be interesting to see how the atmosphere unfolds in that rather smallish stadium tomorrow night to see if it lives up to what Steve Adazio says, which will be a big-time atmosphere in that game. Last night, it was Wake Forest beating NC State 27-23. So, yeah, check off NC State and watch them drop from number 14. Did they drop all the way out of the top 25 losing to Wake Forest?
They should.
They should. They might not. I mean, again, they're having trouble finding these teams for the bottom half of this poll. And so I wouldn't be shocked if they stayed in the low 20s in the poll next week. But, yeah, they deserve to drop out. You get an ACC game tonight, number 13 Syracuse, also overrated. We'll take on Louisville tonight. That's at the Carrier Dome, 7 o'clock on ESPN2 tonight. And then ACC action tomorrow, North Carolina and Duke. That's a 12:20 kickoff at Wallace Wade Stadium in Durham. North Carolina really struggling this year, and job security watch certainly underway for Larry Fedora. Liberty's at Virginia at 3 o'clock. Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, that's an important game. It just is. You know, Pittsburgh.
So why didn't they go there?
No, not that important. Don't get me wrong. That's an important game in the ACC Coastal, but good grief, no. Don't go to Pittsburgh and Virginia Tech. Miami and Georgia Tech, that's a night game at Bobby Dodd Stadium in Atlanta, 7 o'clock. ESPN2 is going to run that one. Miami's just been disappointing again. Georgia Tech's shown some life, but it's Georgia Tech. Notre Dame, Florida State is a 7:30 kick at Notre Dame Stadium, South Bend. And then Clemson, Boston College, of course, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So those are your ACC games on the schedule for tomorrow. And we will have the Clemson, Boston College game. Coverage begins at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon on 93.3 The Planet Rocks. And since I'll be doing the Burns football game tomorrow, Richmond Weaver is going to make a special guest appearance.
Who's that?
Tomorrow with Sturgis on College Football Today on the Planet at 3 o'clock. So tune in for that, all you who've been asking, hey, what happened to that dude, whatever his name was, that used to be on your show?
There's been a couple. I mean, it's not like we haven't had that question before. What happened to that one co-host?
That one guy you used to have, what happened to him? 844-477-3776. We'll get you in with us. We're live at Wings, Etc., Boiling Springs. Greg McKinney and Lonzo in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Come back and hear from Cam Newton about last night's debacle against the Pittsburgh Steelers when we return in the huddle. Stay with us.
Yes. Okay.
Right here?
No, I'll do it right here. That is not a long time. That's just a few short months. And in a few short months, in 90 days, you can lose the weight that you've been looking to lose. If you've tried every diet known to man and all you've done is yo-yo, you lose weight, you put it back on. Sometimes you put more back on than you lost. Then it's time for you to try the Health Air. The Health Air wants you to be skeptical. They want you to try them as a last resort, because then you can see those other programs don't work because all they are diets. The Health Air is a plan that will work. Not only will you lose weight, you'll get off medications like blood pressure medicine, gout medicine, using a CPAP machine, things like that, all the things that are associated with weight gain. So what do you got to lose except for the weight? All you got to do is go to iDareGreenville.com, fill out some information. One of the Health Air coaches will bring you in for a free consultation and get you on the road to having that energy and to losing that weight. And all it will take is 90 days guaranteed. Go to iDareGreenville.com today. And when you're there, make sure you tell them that Lonzo dared you.
All right, Panther fans, have you lost the faith after watching TV last night? It was as ugly as
I tell you what,
it could have been. Just awful last night. 52-21. I'll tell you what. The Carolina Panthers lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers last night, right? 52-21. It was 31-14 at halftime and didn't get any better in the second half. Ben Roethlisberger looked like Tom Brady. Okay.
Except a lot bigger version of Tom Brady.
5 touchdowns, no interceptions, 22 of 25. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, I know he's good. He ain't that good. Come on, man. 328 yards on the day. James Conner, 65 yards rushing. They didn't really have the need for much of a run game against the Panthers. But it was Antonio Brown with 96 yards and a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster, 90 yards and a touchdown. Vance McDonald, 4 catches for 44 yards and a touchdown. So that's what Pittsburgh did offensively against that Carolina Panthers defense. They passed for 319 yards, and they rushed for 138. On the other side of the football for the Panthers, it was not a terrible day for Cam Newton. I mean, all things considered, he was 23 of 29. That's a pretty good percentage. 193 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 really bad interception. That was a pick 6, so that hurt. Christian McCaffrey, 77 yards rushing. He is the only, listen to this. This is what I don't understand about this Carolina team. I mean, you know, I get that you try to give a team what they'll allow you to take, but outside of Christian McCaffrey's 14 carries last night, no other Carolina Panther had more than 2 carries.
But that's not unusual if you look at the season, though.
It needs to be unusual. You need to establish a running game with some of these guys.
I agree, but, you know, maybe Norv Turner doesn't trust the other guys.
What's up with that? What's up with C.J. Anderson?
You know what it could be, I should be the last person to question someone's intellect, but maybe this offense is so complicated that Anderson can't get it.
I mean, you take the ball and you run. I know it's a little more than that.
Listen, it took a while for the offense to click for Cam and some of the other guys. It's very, very complicated, and maybe he just can't get it.
They're trying things like running the ball with DJ Moore. Curtis Samuel had a carry. That didn't work. So they just didn't have the running game. I mean, they had 95 yards rushing, and almost all of that was McCaffrey, and McCaffrey had the decent day. So here's what Cam Newton said after the Panthers were blown out last night, 52-21 by the Steelers.
I tell you what, it sure enough was a humbling piece of pie, but not only that, it was a learning experience for a lot of guys. You know, If we expect to be as good as we expect us to be, we have to find ways to win games like this in a hostile environment. You know, it was extremely loud. You know, we played against a very talented team, like I said before, and we just got to find ways to win football games. You know, we had a lot of our noses bleeding early on, and we just got to stop it and find ways to, you know, keep things going in our favor, offensively, defensively, and special teams, you know, and we just got outplayed today.
Boy, did they, 52-21. So that breaks a three-game winning streak for the Carolina Panthers. You asked me earlier what's next for Carolina. They will play at Detroit against the Lions. What do you think about that? I mean, you feel comfortable about that one going into Detroit?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I do. I think they're going to bounce back. It's one of those things, they got kicked in the groin early, and it's hard to come back from a kick to the groin. You just never feel quite right. And that's the closest thing that, because I've been in games, you have seen games where a team has gotten down and you can tell mentally they can't get back into it. Physically they had trouble too, but mentally they couldn't get back in, and they just weren't going to come back from that yesterday. But I think they'll be all right against Detroit.
All right. Well, after Detroit, they get Seattle at home on Thanksgiving weekend. They go to Tampa Bay. They go to Cleveland. And then they finish up Saints, Falcons, Saints. So, realistically, they're 6-3 right now. They're still second in the NFC South, but now New Orleans is putting a little distance between themselves and the Panthers. Looking at Lions, Seahawks, Buccaneers, Browns, Saints, Falcons, Saints. I mean, you don't think they're going to keep up the percentage of wins that they've had earlier in the year, do you?
You know, a week ago, everyone is thinking, "No, this team is going to challenge for all this stuff."
Yeah, no, we're pulling the plug.
Just
awful.
One game does this. One game.
Yeah.
They're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. They're probably not going to win the NFC South.
That's right. So they got to get the wild card.
But who else is going for the wild card other than them?
A lot of people are going for the wild
card. No, I mean, who's got a better shot? I don't think anyone has a better shot. They're the best team at the next level, and I think they're going to win some of these games.
Well, I think they'll win some of these games as well, but some is the key word. I mean, you got to figure out how many some is going to be. If you look at the NFC standings right now, all right, so your second place teams, Philadelphia Eagles are 4-4, so you're okay there.
Yep.
The Minnesota Vikings are 5-3-1. They could be a problem. Minnesota just hadn't gotten hot yet. If they do, they could be a problem. Seattle Seahawks are 4-4. All right, they should be fine.
I'm telling you. I mean, as far as the NFC goes, everybody seems to be mediocre.
Yeah,
it's like there's mediocre, there's bad, and then I think they're fine.
Yeah, but you're looking wild card now, though. That's what you're looking at. That's what you're looking at with your Panthers. Unless you sweep the Saints.
Unless you sweep the Saints? Unless you sweep the Saints.
Yeah. And it's last 3 weeks.
The way the Saints are playing right now, they ain't happening.
That ain't happening.
But you got to hope to at least get one.
Yeah, you need to win one of those. And the problem is you can't get any momentum from that because it's at the end of the season. Both those games are within the last 3 weeks of the season. Anyway, no, I'm not trying to oversound the alarm here, but it was bad enough last night that you we must have had a prize wheel spin that
so
was close there.
So close. It's like almost hitting that 100 on
no question.
The wheel and the price is right.
So it was bad enough last night that, you need to get that taste out of your mouth. So you better do that coming up against the Detroit Lions. You want to do that pretty quickly, right? You want to go ahead and get that turned around. Another bad game and then I'll be able to panic. I can legitimately panic.
You can legitimately panic if that happens, yes. But it's not going to happen. They're going to beat Detroit.
They also, by the way, ejected Eric Reed last night. He didn't understand it for a hit on Roethlisberger, and now we understand that Ron Rivera is asking the NFL to explain why they kicked him out of the game. I didn't really feel like they should have kicked him out of the game either. He will ask the NFL to explain why Eric Reed was ejected for a shoulder-to-helmet hit on Ben Roethlisberger in the third quarter. He said... he doesn't plan to ask the league about Reed's claim after the game that he has been drug tested for 5 times. Drug tested for 5 times after being signed by Carolina in late September. So Eric Reed is going to stir it up, isn't he?
You know, even if he has, you know, it's a random thing. His number just keeps coming up. That's how that works.
It's bad luck, Eric. Eric Reed said, they're not going to catch me on anything. He filed a grievance back in May against the NFL. So, you know, that's the allegation, basically, that they're targeting him because of the grievance. Because he's claiming collusion to keep him unemployed because he's been one of those guys that's kneeled in the national anthem. Rivera said the drug testing is not a concern. Ron Rivera said today, I've got no issues on that. That has nothing to do with what I have to deal with. I'm not in agreement with what the decision was on the ejection. He said, I get the penalty. I don't get the ejection. And I'm going to ask for an explanation as far as that is concerned. As far as drug testing, the league does not administer drug tests. The league does not select those to be tested. That's done by an independent administrator. Brian McCarthy, who's a spokesman for the NFL, posted the policy on Twitter today after multiple inquiries following the comments from Eric Reed that he's been tested like five times. The policy says each week during the season, 10 players per club will be tested. Well, that's a lot. If 10 every week are tested, you're going to get tested multiple times, aren't you?
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah. By means of a computer program, this is the policy, the policy's jointly appointed independent administrator randomly selects, before the game, the players to be tested. All right. As for the ejection, the league has the right to eject a player in its effort to protect the quarterback and crack down on head injuries. After hitting Roethlisberger at the end of a scramble, Reed was flagged for unnecessary roughness due to forcible contact to the head and neck area of a sliding quarterback. There's no question he was sliding.
You cannot hit quarterbacks anymore.
Period.
And you definitely cannot hit elderly quarterbacks.
Well, and you know, I get that. You know, you've got one of these guys going down. He's giving himself up. You don't have to touch him if he gives himself up. He's sliding.
Now, if you're Cam Newton, go ahead and hit him.
Cause you it's Cam.
You go get away
it's
with
the
that.
Cam rule.
Because Cam can take it. But, you know, Roethlisberger, he's fragile.
Yeah. Reed also had an interception overturned in the final minutes of the game. He didn't like that either. He didn't
conspiracy.
Like that. Conspiracy theory. Reed, the first player to join Colin Kaepernick and kneeling during the anthem to protest social injustice. Kaepernick, of course, has signed a grievance or filed a grievance against the league, and he is unsigned and has not played since all of that came about. All right, so all in all, not a good night to be a Carolina Panther. All I can do is put it behind him and move forward, and it's Detroit coming up next weekend. 844-477-3776, the healthcare text line 71307. We will break and come back with more live from Wings Etc. in Bowling Springs on Highway 9. It's Greg McKinney Alonzo on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. We're back. We're out here at Wings Etc. Highway 9 in Bowling Springs for another 20 minutes or so here in the huddle with Greg McKinney and Lonzo. We'll be leaving at 4 o'clock, but you can come by anytime. They'll be open tonight, and they'll be ready to serve you their premium burgers, their fresh, never-frozen burgers served with fries or your choice of side, made-to-order sandwiches. They also have tacos. They have some seafood, jumbo shrimp by the piece. They also have hot dogs and ribs, even kids' meals. They call them the Keep 'em Quiet Kids' Meals because they're eating. Hopefully, they'll shut up.
Well,
we can only hope.
I know you and I and all our listeners never have any rowdy children.
It's never happened.
They're well-behaved, but for those other ones.
Yeah, you know. It's here for you guys, who've had kids like that. Jumbo wings, of course, with all kinds of options as far as how many you get and what kind of signature wing sauce you get for it. They have 19 signature wing sauces, ranging from very, very hot to very, very mild. So ask about that. They also have wing rubs as well. Some good appetizers, too. They have the basket of loaded fries or tots. They have fried pickle spears, onion rings, mini corn dogs, fried mushrooms, pretzel bites. A lot to choose from here at Wings Etc. It's Highway 9 in Bowling Springs. Wings Etc. Grill and Pub. If you haven't been by here, do yourself a favor and get on by here. And this weekend would be a great time to do that. Come by and see Scott and the guys at Wings Etc. Highway 9 in Bowling Springs. You know, I like 538.com. It's basically a statistical website for sports. And so they're getting into each contender's path to the college football playoff. And I want to tell you what they said about Clemson. Very statistical look, crunching all the numbers and giving you something to think about here. Right now, 538.com says Clemson has an 87% chance of making the four-team playoff. We thought it'd been higher, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I do think it should have been
higher. They could lose. This is before the Boston College game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they're counting Boston College. Yeah. So they're giving Boston College some credence, too, just like game day is.
Yeah, and then, you know, somebody in the Coastal, I don't know who, could potentially, theoretically, cause a problem for the Tigers.
And maybe South Carolina could.
And
I mean, we don't know. Potentially, it's a rivalry game.
Theoretically. I don't know. Which one of those is most likely? Or most unlikely.
I would say South Carolina has a better shot than anyone in the ACC.
In the Coastal?
Yeah, I would think so.
You're clearly a Gamecock fan. I'll give you that. They're pretty close.
No, I don't think anyone has a chance, but if someone were, at least you got the rivalry factor in there.
Well, that's true, but it's a Clemson this year. So if it was in Columbia, I might go with you. Anyway, 87% chance that Clemson makes the playoff. If they want to get to 90-plus percent chance to make the playoff, all they have to do is win the ACC championship, and they will gain 9 percentage points just by winning that. And then they'll be pretty much
really
there.
They have no more games to play after that.
Yeah, they have no more.
Okay.
But, you know, something else weird. That would put them up to 96%. All right. Alabama, believe it or not, right now only a 76% chance to make the playoffs. 11 percentage points lower than Clemson. To make the playoff.
But, see, that doesn't surprise me because of competition level.
Exactly. That's why.
They're still not. It's still Alabama. There's still not a lot of competition. But there's more competition for them.
They got to play Georgia in the SEC championship game. Now, here's the thing. They could lose that game and still possibly get in.
Oh, they will. I mean, if they lose, they're getting in because there'll be a one loss. We saw what happened last year.
But if Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game, they gain 23 percentage points. So that takes them to 99%. If they win the SEC championship, I mean, I don't know. I would say it takes them to 100%.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
But that's what 538 says. Now, Georgia. Georgia has only a 39% chance of making the playoff right now. 39%. Because they're assuming that Alabama's going to beat them in the playoff, and they already have one loss, so they're out if that happens. If Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship, they gain 52 points and takes them to 91%. To make the four-team playoff, all right? But that's a pretty tall order. Notre Dame, current playoff chances, 58%. 58%, not much over half. How do they get to 90-plus percent? They need to beat Florida State. All right. That'd give them 5 more points, and that should be relatively easy.
Yeah.
They need to beat Syracuse in Week 12. You could have 15 points to their chances by doing that. And then they need to beat Southern Cal in Week 13. That's on the road, by the way, in California. And that would add 14 points. You do all of those, and you're up to 92% chance for Notre Dame to make it. Oklahoma, right now, current playoff chances, 41%. 41%, so less than half that Oklahoma makes it. For them to get the 90-plus percent, they have to beat Oklahoma State this weekend. They have to beat Kansas in Week 12. They have to beat West Virginia in Week 13. And then they need to win the Big 12 championship game in Week 14. Do all of that. They go up to 91%. 91% chance. Here's your Buckeyes, Lonzo. What do you think your Buckeyes' chances of making the playoffs are right now, statistically?
Statistically, 35%.
18%. Look at the depression washing over Lonzo's face.
Yeah, I'm not depressed.
18% chance that Ohio State makes the playoff.
Last year showed what could happen. They lost one game last year. They won the Big Ten, and they didn't go.
Yeah.
So if that were to happen this year, it would not be surprised. Although, if they beat Michigan, and Michigan has one loss, Michigan will be a higher-ranked team than what they beat last year, I think.
Okay. Yeah, but they had the bad loss. That hurts them. But here's the thing. All you have to do to get to 90-plus percent is it went out, basically.
Yeah.
Beat Michigan State coming up this weekend. That's step one. Beat Michigan in Week 13, and that game alone would give you a 32% better chance to make the postseason or the 14 playoff. And then you have to win the Big Ten championship in week 14.
If they can get past Michigan State and Michigan, they'll win the Big Ten. We'll see.
Probably. Right now, Michigan has a 40% chance to make the playoffs, 40%. Now, here's what they need. They kind of depending on Notre Dame losing because Notre Dame beat Michigan. So you don't want to go up as Michigan head-to-head as a one-loss team against Notre Dame. So you need Syracuse to beat Notre Dame in Week 12. You need to beat Ohio State. Then you need to beat whoever in the Big Ten Championship if you're Michigan. On down the line, there was an interesting one here. Central Florida could make the 14 playoff. What do you think their chances are? What do you think their chances are according to 538.com?
5%.
4%. Good guess. This one is more difficult to pin down. They say it's so rare in our data for UCF to make the playoff. So here's some of the common outcomes in what a few simulations give UCF a reasonable chance to make the playoffs. Here's how you do it. You win all four remaining games, including the American Championship. Obviously, if you're Central Florida, you can't lose. Both Notre Dame and Washington State lose at least one remaining game, and one of those needs to lose twice. Notre Dame and Washington State. All right, stay with me here. Oklahoma and Michigan fail to win their conference championships. You don't see Oklahoma failing to win theirs. Michigan, you got Ohio State there. So you need all that to happen. The chance of everything happening to line up for Central Florida to make the 14 playoff, less than 1 in 2,000.
Well, you know what? I don't get it. This is a defending national champion.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard to fathom that they could compete?
I don't know. But, see, you need the top teams. So, you know, you need Alabama and Clemson and the like to just went out and take those first two, three places, and then you need everybody else to just kind of fall apart.
You know, I get all that, but I think if all that happened, they still wouldn't put UCF.
Yeah, I think they'd find somebody
else. They would find somebody
else. Well, I mean, you know, it's very, very unlikely, but that's one scenario that they point out on 538.com. Interesting. All right, final break. We'll come back and wrap it up here live at Wings Etc. Highway 9 in Boiling Springs. This is Greg McKinney and Lonzo. Stay with us for the conclusion of the Friday Huddle next on ESPN Upstate. Welcome back. Final segment out here. Wings Etc. Highway 9 in Boiling Springs. Had a good time out here today as the rain has fallen off and on. Once again, in case you missed it, we have one postponement from high school football tonight, at least one that I know about. And it's good I know about it since I'm calling the game. I appreciate them letting me know.
Yeah,
that.
You wouldn't want to show over there
and bring
all the equipment up to the stands.
No good for that. I'd probably notice about 7 o'clock when nobody was coming in. By then, I hope I would get it. Burns will not play tonight. Burns and Westside, first round of the 5A playoffs at Nixon Field. Because of the condition of the field, all the rain that's fallen over there, they have decided to postpone until tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Hey, so, you didn't tell Randy, did you?
No, I wasn't going to tell him.
Okay, cool. Nah. All right.
You know, it'll be funny.
I think so. I think it'll be great.
So we'll be on the air at 1:30 tomorrow for Burns football with Westside here on ESPN Upstate. So tune in for that. As far as we know, all the other games that were scheduled tonight are still on, but that's still subject to change as they take a look at these fields this afternoon. So that's what we have here. After several games last night, that's what we have going forward for tonight. Last night, Dorman was a big winner, 52-0 over Greenwood. Northwestern beat Boiling Springs 54-35, those were the Upper State 5A games. In 4A, York beat Orangeburg-Wilkinson 49-24. And Daniel won over the Eastside Eagles 49-20. And the 3A playoffs last night, Union County 56 and Chesney 13. Union County coming around. They're back now, playing at a high level. Good to see that for the folks over there with the Yellow Jackets. And it was Indian Land over Crescent 29-14. And the 2A playoffs last night, Southside Christian from Greenville over Silver Bluff 35-7. And Abbeville, certainly one of the top 2A teams around, beat Andrew Jackson 54-13. that was the final in that one. So bunch of games scheduled for tonight. 5A games include Spartanburg at T.L. Hanna. Spartanburg only 3 wins on the season, so it's going to be a tall order for Chris Miller going over to Hanna to play that good Yellow Jackets team, but we'll see. Anything can happen. Also later tonight, we will get Nation Ford and Blythewood. The winner of that game gets the pleasure of going over and facing Dorman next week in the second round. Rock Hill and Lawrence tonight. Gaffney plays at Woodmont. Gaffney at Woodmont. That's one of those rare cases where the higher seed is an underdog.
It still doesn't sound right every time you say it. It just doesn't.
Yeah, it feels a little weird, but we'll see what happens because Woodmont has that different offense under Jet Turner that's kind of hard to counter, and Gaffney has a great defense. Can they do that tonight effectively and advance in the playoffs? And then also tonight, it'll be Sumter Spring Valley. Sumter is one of the top teams in the state, undefeated. And Spring Valley was an at-large team. And again, Westside Burns coming up tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. So that's what's cooking here with high school football tonight. A little bit more on the college football games this weekend and teams that cannot afford to lose. And Clemson is listed as one of those, but it's kind of interesting because, you know, it's not all is necessarily lost if Clemson should get upset by Boston College in that game tomorrow at Chestnut Hill. Here's what ESPN says about the game. What's at stake? The Atlantic Division title and potentially Clemson's place in the playoff. The reason this game is lower on the leverage list of games you can't afford to lose is because Clemson has been so good. They're number one in defensive efficiency, number seven in offensive efficiency, and might have a little more wiggle room than Notre Dame with a loss. Clemson losing on the road to a ranked BC team would certainly look better than the Irish losing at home this weekend to embattled Florida State. Well, you can see that, certainly. If Clemson loses at Boston College, it would need the Eagles to lose again in the regular season to overtake them for the division title. Yeah, this is not for the Atlantic Division if Boston College wins. It is if Clemson wins. So that's not unfathomable because the Eagles have to travel to Tallahassee, and then they have to play Syracuse, a ranked team at home, before the season is over. If BC should win out and win the division, Clemson would be in a similar position as Alabama a year ago. A one-loss team that did not win its division but was ranked in the top four. And so could Clemson do what Alabama did last year and slip into the playoffs in that scenario? They're not Alabama, but they're as close as anybody comes to being Alabama right now, right?
Well, if you look at margin of victory and how good they looked and everything, I don't know, though. Again, they're not Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And Alabama has a luxury of playing in one of the hardest conferences. Clemson does not.
No, that's true. It would be an interesting test of Clemson's respect among the members of that playoff committee if that played out. A long shot that would play out, but it would be interesting to see. Clemson would have to hope that its 12-game resume was better than that of Power 5 conference champions and of Notre Dame. FPI says this is Clemson's most difficult remaining game this season, and they still have an 88.5% chance to win tomorrow. Their most difficult game, they have an 88.5% chance to win. If Clemson loses this game and Boston College goes on to win the division, still a 56% chance that Clemson will make the playoffs. Yeah. You know, that's what you got to be careful about is making these absolute statements. Hey, Clemson's got to win or they're out. No. Not necessarily. But I don't foresee any issues with finding out about that, right? Don't think that's going to happen in this game tonight. Another interesting thing about, last night we talked about how the NC State Wolfpack laid an egg, lost when they should have certainly won against that Wake Forest team. They were big favorites in that game. So that's what makes that as surprising as it turned out to be. Anyway, we're out of time here. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, Burns tomorrow with Westside, 1:30 airtime, 2 o'clock kickoff on ESPN Upstate. Thanks again to the folks at Wings Etc. for having us out. And feeding us as well. We enjoyed the lunch out here. Come by and see them out here. Highway 9 in Boiling Springs. Thanks to our producer, Matt Hogan, back at the studio. For Lonzo, I'm Greg McKinney. Straight Up with Sturge is coming up next. And I'll see you tomorrow for Burns High School Football on ESPN Upstate. Have a great day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.